And our kids today do not know quiet because of the pods in the ear and the screens that they're, you know, open and observing. And we need to help them discover the benefit of quiet.
This is Family Policy Matters with NC Family President John Rustin.
Thanks for joining us this week for Family Policy Matters. Today we'll be exploring the impact technology is having on family relationships, particularly among young people, and what parents can do to help ensure that their children develop an appropriate and healthy relationship with technology. Our guest today is Dr. Kathy Cook, founder and president of Celebrate Kids Incorporated, which presents practical, relevant, results-oriented concepts to help parents, children, and educators build healthy relationships. Dr. Cook, welcome to Family Policy Matters. It's great to have you with us on the show.
Thank you. I'm privileged to be here.
Now, Dr. Cook, as we begin, we certainly all recognize that technology is a rapidly growing and changing arena that impacts all of us in many ways on a daily basis. What do you believe is the most important thing parents need to know as it relates to raising children in today's technologically advanced and technologically saturated world?
Great question to start with. I don't know if anyone will like my answer, but I don't compromise truth to make people happy. We need to remember children are watching us. They really are. When I asked preteens, teens, and children how many of you would like your parents to turn off their phones, you know, 80% of the hands go up.
Wow.
So I really want to encourage us, if you think that your kids are on technology too much or isolating, or if you're concerned about the brain development ramifications, then you need to ask yourself what they are observing as they are spending time with you. And I want to encourage you to use the pronoun we. We need to make some changes here. Rather than you need to put that down and you need. It really needs to be a we factor in our homes.
Well, is the concern more about what children are actually doing when they use technology, say reading a book on their device or playing video games? Or is it the mere fact that many children are really immersing themselves in technology more and more instead of experiencing people and the world around them in other ways?
I don't think you'll be surprised when I say both. We need to be concerned for both. Certainly things like reading is a more profitable activity. However, there's much research that suggests that our reading comprehension is negatively affected when reading on a screen. Note-taking when using a screen is not effective, etc. So some of the things that we think are not harmless when it comes to their attention span and things like that may actually be harmful when we're looking at intellectual pursuit and academic achievement. The thing about video gaming and social media scrolling and things like that allows kids to isolate, right? It allows them to escape, separate, and it actually can contribute to the very depression that they think they may be escaping. And so I do want us to be alert to all of it.
Well, Dr. Cook, children today are clearly exposed to much more advanced technology than we ever were growing up. How does the ease and frequent access to just about everything by way of computers, smartphones, tablets, smart TVs, and other similar devices affect us, and particularly our children, compared to, for example, when we were growing up?
Right. And this is really the crux of what we do at Celebrate Kids, is to help parents understand what's happening to the spirit, mind, soul, and heart of a child who is continually allowed to use screens. For instance, they can believe that they are the center of their own universe. When I was a child, I had to watch the TV show my dad wanted to watch. And if I wanted to buy one song, I had to buy the whole album to listen to the one song. Hmm. Now kids can believe that, you know, the world revolves around them and they deserve to be happy all the time. That's another lie. They think they deserve choice. You know, for those of us who are older, we know choice is a privilege. Today's kids, because of the drop-down menu on all technology that we use, their brain is expecting to always be given a choice. So when you're at grandma's house and she serves pork chops, how many kids have said, wait, I don't want that? And the grandma's like, what? I didn't give you a choice. This is not a restaurant with a menu, you know? So eat the pork chops. So I think that's a real issue. And the authority issue is huge. You know, when I had a question that I wanted answered, I had to leave my bedroom and go find my parents. Or maybe talk to a pastor, a teacher, a friend, a parent who I babysat for. But there were people available to me when I wanted answers to questions that were important to me. A lot of our children and teens today are simply asking Siri on the phone, what's the meaning of life? And she has an answer, and she's wrong, but they don't know she's wrong. I mean, they're able to go to Google.com and YouTube University and any number of places we can think of to get answers to the questions. And so they can believe that we are not as necessary as we would love to be.
So how, Dr. Cook, do we balance the good technology brings with the risks and the harms associated with it, particularly when it comes to young, impressionable brains and hearts?
Yeah, you know, it's all about boundaries, right? It's always been about boundaries. When your children were 3, you didn't let them color all day. You know, when they were 6, you didn't let them play with dolls or trucks all day. There's always been boundaries, and there's always been exposure to a variety of, you know, ideas and people and activities and toys. And so I think that's a huge thing that we need to be remembering is boundaries are healthy. Let's put out in visible eyesight for kids a variety of options for them. They are addicted to the adrenaline that technology causes. Some are addicted to the technology itself. And so it is hard when we say, please put it down, put it away, turn it off, find something to do. And they really don't know how to handle boredom well, which is really dangerous. So we can actually help them handle boredom well so that they don't go from one kind of Coke to another, which is actually what we're seeing in our culture. So let's put out board games on the coffee table. Let's put a Frisbee and a football and a basketball and a baseball at the back door. Let's put a Sudoku book, you know, on the dining room table or whatever, so that when they're walking by, they see that there's something they could sit down and participate in. And then one other quick comment is quiet is really important to brain development. You know, how many of us adults would admit to having a great aha when we're quiet, right? We're driving, we're emptying the dishwasher, we're changing a baby's diaper, we're doing something possibly, but we're quiet in the midst of doing that thing. I'm, for instance, in line to get onto an airplane, and I'll have this aha idea. And our kids today do not know quiet because of the pods in the ear and the screens that they're, you know, open and observing. And we need to help them discover the benefit of quiet.
Well, I think that's a great point that leads into my next question, and that is about the impact that technology is having with respect to faith among our kids. Now, I mean, a big part of faith is prayer and reflection and taking time to be quiet and listening for what God may be seeking to teach. Talk about that, if you would. I know that you have said that technology really may be the biggest threat to our kids' faith. Share your perspectives with us about that.
Yeah, so important, isn't it? The first lie that I talk about in my book is that we can think that we are the center of our own universe. That's a worldview lie. That's huge. If kids are allowed to believe that they're the center and the world revolves around them, then they don't need God, and they sure don't need to pray, and they don't need His Word because they think they are the Word, if you will. And so it's extremely dangerous. And the idea that they think they can be happy all the time, that's why they have multiple screens up. That's why they X out of games they might lose. That's why they're addicted to, you know, the reboot button and spell check and all the things that make everything easy. And so they could treat God like He's an ATM machine. It's His job to keep them happy. That's why I think they're dropping out of church, dropping out of faith, church hopping as young adults even. There's a lack of authenticity and transparency, right? I'm so concerned when I talk to teenagers, I ask them, you know, how many of you are really able to be honest with God? Or do you treat Him like a Facebook friend and you're only going to give Him the status update that'll make Him smile and like it? That's so dangerous because God wants to know our heart from our perspective. He knows, but He wants us to say to Him, man, I blew it today. I'm so sorry. I'm sure you were disappointed. You know, help me tomorrow. If we don't help our kids learn authenticity and vulnerability and that God is approachable and will never turn them down and will always love them, you know, unconditionally, then they're in a lot of trouble.
You're listening to Family Policy Matters, a resource from NC Family. To listen to our radio show online and for more resources that will help you be a voice of persuasion in your community, go to our website at ncfamily.org.
Well, Dr. Cook, with that in mind, are there things that parents can do to help prepare their children? First of all, even before they are allowed to access technology, but also if some parents may think, hey, that train has already left the station. My kids are totally consumed with technology. What can they do once the technology has become such a major part of their children's lives to kind of draw that back in some and set some healthy parameters for use of technology in the home?
Mm-hmm. You know, the first thing I'll say related to the whole faith development question about that is to make sure that we are proclaiming God's relevance and the Word of God being relevant? Do they hear us pray in the time of their need? Do they see us opening the Word of God when we're looking for answers? Do they? Are we excited on a Sunday morning or a Wednesday to be able to go back to our church and be in the fellowship with like-minded people? Do we model that and talk about that? We need to be fully present. You know, technology is fully present. It's always with them. And that's why they think they don't need us. And so I really want to encourage parents, again, to put down their devices, even put down, you know, the book and the, you know, maybe you're doing something really legit, you know, looking at Pinterest for new recipes or whatever. That's great. But if they're awake and they're with you, then turn it off and play a game and, you know, do something together. Talk about the difference between wanting and needing. I think that's huge when we look at helping kids use technology well. When they're young, do we talk about how, you know, you need an app versus you want an app? And, you know, I never really need a Diet Coke. I want a Diet Coke. And what do they hear me say? Do they hear me say, I need that? So this is why they think they need a phone, and they need that game, and they need that song, and they need that movie. No, they really don't. They need God. And so do we use our language appropriately so that they understand what we believe, and are we passing that on in really good ways? Man, I hope that makes sense.
Oh, I think it does. I really do. What would be some practical bits of advice that you would provide to parents, in addition to what you've already said about setting some parameters in the home that may be helpful in creating certain times where technology can be used, or different things of that? And do you find those kind of parameters or restrictions to be helpful or possibly harmful?
I think it is helpful, and I think it's helpful especially if you have parameters for other things, like if you stick to bedtime and if you stick to when friends are allowed over and if you stick to how long they're allowed to do something, then you can add technology as a parameter. If you only have parameters for technology, they will begin to resent that, and they'll argue with you. I'm a big fan of digital-free days and digital-free times where we don't use technology except for educational pursuit. You know, after school, maybe it's only a Saturday. That'll kill some people listening, but really that's good advice. And again, that's a family matter. I like digital-free zones, though, the dinner table, the bread, wherever you eat a meal, at home or at a restaurant, no screens. That's captured talk time, and we're giving it up to a tool that doesn't love our children. I'm actually also a huge fan of the car being digital-free. Now, don't panic. If you're going on a long car drive, you know, then certainly radio and maybe a book on CD, things like that are really profitable. Certainly good talk radio like this is great to listen to with your kids. However, the car is, again, where we are captured, and so are they. Kids love talking to us in the car because they don't have to look into our eyes when they see something that's hard to hear. And so let's use that time profitably. Let's let them look out the window, and they'll figure out that they won't die if they're bored. And let's have those moments of conversation, because when we're silent, someone will talk. And that's how you stay connected to your kids.
That's great. I know that this may sound archaic, but a number of years ago, we implemented a TV-free summer in our home for a couple of summers in a row. And it was a really special time. And I think my children would admit now that it was a special time, because we had to be creative about time that we spent together. It gave us more time to talk and, you know, in some cases, as you said, maybe be bored a little bit, but also be thoughtful about how we were going to spend that time. And it ended up being a very fruitful thing. So I think those are great, great suggestions. And I know that we have listeners out there who are challenged and struggling with this issue, even now as we're speaking. So I want to, Dr. Cook, give you an opportunity to let our listeners know where they can go to find helpful resources about your work and also to get copies of your excellent books.
Thank you so much. Our website is celebratekids.com. So that's the first place to go, is celebratekids.com. There's a shopping cart there, and you can get to my blog if people are interested in connecting with me. I'm all over social media like you are. Certainly my books are also available at other online sites and even the local bookstore perhaps. And it'd be great to stay connected with people who think that we have something to offer. It'd be fabulous. Appreciate the opportunity to be on with you.
Well, absolutely. And just would encourage our listeners to avail themselves of the great resources that you have available. And just want to thank you so much for taking time to be with us on Family Policy Matters, and for your work to help foster healthy relationships between parents and children. So, Dr. Cook, thanks so much.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
You've been listening to Family Policy Matters, a production of NC Family. To listen to our radio show online, and for more valuable resources and information about issues important to families in North Carolina, go to our website at ncfamily.org and follow us on Twitter and Facebook.